Hello and welcome to Animates, bringing you stories about animals and how we connect with them. This program is recorded in the studios of 2RPH Sydney for the RPH Network. I'm Elaine Jontek. Today we have an interview with Karen Hayter from Guide Dogs of New South Wales, ACT. This organisation is the leading provider of guide dogs that allow people with impaired vision to get around safely and independently at no cost to clients. The dogs provide confidence and companionship for many with sight loss. In Australia, every day, 28 people are diagnosed with sight loss that cannot be corrected. One third of those will become blind. In New South Wales and the ACT, more than 120,000 people have a vision impairment, serious enough to affect their everyday lives. It takes 2 years and costs $50,000 to breed, raise, and train each guide dog. There is a need at the moment for puppy-raising volunteers to make a 12-month commitment to care for a guide dog puppy from 8 weeks old for a year. The volunteers contribute to helping transform a playful puppy into a responsible guide dog that may change the life of someone who is blind or who has a sight loss. Let's find out more from Karen Hayter. Welcome to the Animates program, Karen. Let's see if I get your title correct. Are you the Puppy Development Manager for Guide Dogs New South Wales ACT?
Yes, that's correct.
You're involved with the puppy raising program.
I oversee the program, which is where families take puppies from 8 weeks of age right through to infant training, which is around about 12 to 14 months of age. So the puppies are placed into families who have been assessed by our staff here at the Guide Dog Centre as suitable to look after one of our puppies. We place the puppy with them after the puppy raisers attended information sessions here at the centre, and the puppy raiser will look after the pup around about 12 to 14 month period. They'll take them to training sessions, which are once a week until the pup's 16 weeks, and then twice every 2 weeks until the puppy comes in for training at 14 months. During that time, we do a lot of obedience and getting the connection with the puppy, lots of socialising. And on their off week to training, we'll take them out to a shopping centre, onto public transport to upskill them as best we can.
So how did you get involved in the puppy raising program for guide dogs?
Yeah, I started out as a kennel attendant, and I was lucky enough to get promoted through to puppy raising. And from when I first started, there was only a couple of us doing puppy raising, so overseeing a large number of dogs. And we've actually increased our staffing levels so we can have more one-on-one with our puppy raisers, which is really important for them as well as for the dogs. So we can keep a close eye on how the dogs are progressing, and we can early identify potential issues that we can turn around and hopefully put other systems in place to get that puppet over the line at the other end as a guide dog.
So what is a kennel attendant? What was that first job that you had?
That was looking after the welfare of the dogs, cleaning kennels, as well as taking the dogs for exercises, grooming them and health checking them, and delivering them out to puppy raising families or taking them to the vet as needed. That was when I was first out of school, so I was lucky enough to get a job in puppy raise, which is the ultimate for me.
So you must have had some affinity with the dogs, otherwise you wouldn't have got that promotion.
That's right. I originally started working on weekends at school at Animal Welfare Leagues. It was actually a little bit different. I was working in a cattery, but it gave you an idea on what welfare is needed, working dogs and dogs in general, because you did see dogs that come in not so nice condition, and you realise how important for their welfare and their well-being, mental well-being, that they need to be kept in really good conditions, whether they be a working dog or your average pet dog.
So do you have any pets yourself? Have you got a family with poor vision that you've got that sort of link with guide dogs?
No, my grandmother used to use a white cane many, many years ago. So I've got two Labradors, and I've also got a working dog, which is a Coolie. Both my dogs were reclassified dogs, so they didn't make the program. So I was lucky enough to get them as pet dogs. The amount of love that a Labrador gives, and all breeds, but specifically Labradors because they're guide dogs, is just so welcoming to you when you get home from work or when you're having a bit of a bad day. They just give you so much love back, and it's unconditional. They don't care sort of what mood you're in.
Really, so good. Do you think your grandma would have appreciated a guide dog as well as a cane that she used to use?
No, unfortunately she lost her vision quite late in life, so she just wasn't in a position to have a dog. And I mean, I've seen a lot of people that I've met through working with guide dogs that have really benefited from having a guide dog that may have started with a white cane and then developed up the confidence that they wanted to take on a dog. And some people that you talk to had never wanted to have a dog. They thought they'd just have a white cane, and when they got the dog, they've never looked back.
So what does a graduate puppy need to know or do, and what does he learn in those 12 months?
So we have a program for all our pups to go through. So they start off with foundation classes, which they learn connection with their puppy raisers. So we have commands like check-in, where the dog actually looks to the handler for direction. We also have them doing close. They will spin around from sitting in front of the client. They'll spin around to be sitting between their legs. So that's a really good position if the client needs to do any health checking on the dog. So they learn the basics very early on. Then they advance to our training classes, which is where we do more difficult skills like starting to get them to sit and stay on lead, moving away from them, getting them to walk past other dogs without showing any distractions. We'll scatter food on the ground, getting them to walk over the food without distractions. For a Labrador, that can be quite difficult because they do love their food, but we make sure that we're more important than the food on the ground. We have treats as well. When the dog passes over the food on the ground without reacting, we'll tell them good dog and give them a treat. We also take them into shopping centres so that we can see how they're going. If they're starting to get a little bit overwhelmed with the shops, we'll take them back out, do some other work with them over the next few weeks and then pop them back in. It's really about our puppy development advisors, who are the staff working on the ground with the puppy raisers, actually being able to see how the dog's body language is at that time, and then working through a process with that dog to make sure it's not too worried about going into different places. We don't have any legal access rights in New South Wales to take our dogs into shopping centres. So we have an agreement with a number of very, really nice centre management that allow us to take the dogs in. Most of them say as long as the pups have their puppy coat on and they're with a guide dog employee, they're fine to come into the centre. So we just ask the puppy raisers not to take their pups into public places where the average dog isn't allowed. As I said, we don't have any legal access rights to be there. It's just kind of them to allow us in.
What's the time commitment if somebody wants to raise a puppy?
Our training sessions run about an hour and a half every week and then every fortnight, so that's a definite where people have to attend. We don't like our pups left for any longer than 4 hours a day, because that's when you're trying to house train a puppy, you need it to be that you need to be with it on a regular basis so you can keep taking it in and out. If someone worked full time, it wouldn't give us the opportunity to be able to see the puppy. So it's important people who are on our program don't work for longer than 4 hours a day, so that we can get to see the puppy, and two, the puppy's not left too much on its own, because Labradors can tend to be chewers and diggers. If they're left too much on their own, they can get up to a little bit of mischief here and there.
What's the criteria for being a puppy raiser? Is loving dogs and having a part-time job, is that enough?
It's a great start, but we need people that have got a fully fenced yard. Doesn't matter if someone's on their own or if they've got a family. As long as they've got the time to put into the puppy, it's fine by us. So we have people on their own. We have retired people that do our puppy raising program. We've had a resident in a retirement village do our program that was really successful. We've got families with young children, older children. It doesn't matter, as long as there's a time commitment. Fully fenced yard, you have to be able to have a license and a car so that if the puppy gets sick, you can drive it to and from the vet and attend training sessions. But just the willingness to sort of follow our program, which is really important for us because we can set the puppy up for its best success.
What are the rewards in being part of the program for the puppy raiser?
It's a real social. We've got our own private Facebook page. So there's been a lot of friendships made through puppy raising. A lot of families will talk on Facebook but also get together. So there's that side of it. We have a lot of families that they're not sure if the kids want a dog, but they're not sure if the kids are going to keep with a commitment. So people will start our program to see if it's like the first step, do we get our permanent dog? Some people have done it once and they've gone on to get their own dog. And some people have that idea and continue on in the programs. Also seeing the dog at the end, if it's lucky enough to graduate as a guide dog, we have a graduation out here at the centre, and you can come out and see the dog working and have a look at all its litter mates or friends that it's made through training that'll be out here graduating as well. I think it's a reward of knowing your dog's gone on to help someone as well.
So a lot of puppies don't get through the program, do they? I remember seeing that documentary, Pick of the Litter, which was a lovely story about guide dogs being trained, and some of them don't make it, do they?
fortunately for the dogs, we have four programs the dogs can go into. So we've got our breeding program that continues our good lines into our guide dogs. We have our guide dogs. Dogs that don't make guide dog training, it could be that they've got a little bit too much love to give to people when they're supposed to be working, or they're a bit excited around food or a bit excited around other dogs. We can put them into our Pets of Therapy program. Now, that's a program where we place dogs with people with a disability, or they might be isolated, loneliness, kids right through to some of our older clients, as well as we've got a new program that's been running for a while, which is our court dog programs. We have volunteers that take our dogs into courts, and they sit in the court area where the witnesses are for a period of 1.5 hours a day, and they just have people come up and pat the dogs. The dogs can go into one of four programs, so the amount of dogs that aren't able to go into any of them programs is quite low, and we usually say the dog picks its own career. So if the dog's not suitable for any, it's not a failure, it's just that it's picked a career that it wants to go back to its puppy raiser as a pet dog.
That's good to have so much choice. Not every person has that many choices for four different careers.
That's right. It's really good, and it's good that we've got the other programs now that our dogs that don't fit into the sort of the guide dog program can go into another program and make a big difference to people.
So those people who have guide dogs, what kind of change do you think it makes in their lives?
We get a lot of feedback from our trainers and also our guide dog instructors out in the field. It varies. So some people will go from being quite isolated, that they'll start to go out and harm. And one of the most common that I've had feedback on is that if someone goes out there with a white cane, no one talks. But if someone's got a dog, they'll always approach them and say, "Hey, what's your dog's name? He's good, blah, blah, blah." Even though it's coming through the dog, they get that social contact. And the companionship of the dog is really important. And people can go, even though they can go places with a white cane, it's much better if you can go with your guide dog as well. On saying that, a dog isn't for everyone, so that's why we have our other services available as well.
That sounds terrific. You say it takes 1 year to train a guide dog, or is it a bit longer than that?
12 months in the puppy raising program, and then mm-hmm. It's 5 months intense guide dog training. And then once the dog's graduated and gets placed with its client, there's further training that's involved there. So that could be 2-3 months, depending on the type of environment the dog's going into and what sort of routes they've got to learn around, like if it's a university or to and from work, or if it's just up to the post office and the local shop a couple of times a week. So it depends on what the dog's workload's going to be.
How do people get in touch if they want to find out more about puppy raising? And I know you also mentioned the some of the dogs go to court. How would people find out about the court? If they needed a dog to relax them in court, is that the idea with the court?
Yeah, we've got a number of courts around Sydney, as well as we do Lismore. We're doing Goulburn, Nowra, Orange. And what we do is we place a dog with a handler, and the handler goes in there with the dog. So the dogs are there on certain days, which are usually advertised through the court. And if someone's there for witness, they're just really stressed about it, which court's not a nice place for either any parties. The dogs are just there. If people want to come up, we don't approach people. People come up to us if they want to pat the dog. Because, again, dogs aren't for everybody. There's some people that are scared of dogs or allergic to dogs. They can approach us, and the dogs will just sit there and be patted for however long it takes. So it's a really good program, and it's a great... I mean, if people are interested in volunteering, they can contact the Guide Dog Centre, as well as if they're interested in puppy raising. We've got great information on our website, as well as an online application. So they're more than welcome to either contact us at the centre or jump online and fill out an application form.
Great. So how do people get in touch? Have you got a phone number there?
Yep. It's 4579-7555.
Right.
Or on our website, which is just guidedogs.com.au, and follow the links to puppy raising.
So how many puppy raisers do you have in a year?
Yeah, we have 220 pups placed out on our program at the moment. So it usually stays to around about that amount of dogs. It's hard to say how many puppies we place each month, but it's usually about 10 to 15 per month go out to new homes. We have what we call our repeat offenders, which are puppy raisers that come back and that one dog comes in, they take another puppy. Not everyone does that, so we're still looking for multiple puppy raisers to come into our program as well. And as well as puppy raising, if people feel that they can't commit to all of that, we have our temporary care program, which is taking dogs, like if our puppy raiser's on holidays for a week, we have other families that will take that dog on for the week. So if people are happier with a shorter term care, that's another option for people as well.
That's great. So if you can't commit to 12 months, because that's a long time without a holiday, you can have a break, you can go on holiday, or you could just even try it perhaps for 3 months to see if you want a dog in your house.
That's correct, yes, and a lot of people do that. We have a lot of retired people that do travel a lot. Temporary care's for them, so they'll take a couple of dogs and they'll go on their six-week holiday, come back and have more dogs. They've always got a dog at home, but they haven't got the problem of if they get their own pet, that they're having to find boarding or someone to look after it while they're away.
Do you ever find people won't give them up?
We're lucky enough that we've probably only had a couple of people that were really quite, no, we don't want to give the dog up. But we actually get you to sign a contract to say that it is actually legally our dog, so that it does have to come back. But we understand that people get very, very attached to the dog because you've got it for 12 months. If you've got it through your naughty period, just when it starts to settle down and become a nice dog, we say, okay, it's in for training. So, yeah, we do get families that are quite distressed. It's interesting when we have a family come out, it's usually the parents that are more upset than the kids, because the kids are quite happy to get another dog and move on, but it's usually the parents that are a little bit more upset over it. But we have a solution for that. When you bring back one, we get you to take another one, so all parties are happy.
That's great.
All right, that phone number again, to apply to become a puppy raiser or to chat to someone, yeah, about what's involved is 4579755. I've been speaking to Karen Hayter from Guide Dogs New South Wales, and Karen is the Puppy Development Manager. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you very much.
You have been listening to Animates. This program has been recorded in the studios of 2RPH Sydney for the RPH Network. Animates was created by Joe Van Kool. Our technical producer is Katie Brooks. Research by Joseph Schwanzer, and I'm Elaine Jontek. Please join us again next time for more stories of animals and their mates. Thank you.